Hey, what's good? It's your girl, Drea G.
It's your girl, the Black Rogue.
And we are The Grid. What is good? What's the damn deal?
What you been up to lately?
Girl, life. And you know, life been lifing.
Any story? Man,
probably not like yours. But you know, it's been a minute. I feel like the last time we was here, it was Christmas break. You know, and so now we're into 2024. You know, I'm going to tell you, 2023, last year for me, I don't know about anybody else, but I felt like I was in a pressure cooker. So, you know, I felt like 23 was going to be like Jordan year, but actually, I don't know what the opposite of Jordan year would be, but 2024, Kobe year, since we're, you know, giving them these coins, it's starting off to a good vibe. Still a lot of fuckery going on in the world, but me personally, you know, so life has been lifing in some positive ways. So I'm back in New York City. We're both back in New York City. And so it's a lot going on. And so we'll get into it. But right now I'm just in grind mode, you know, trying to elevate with my business. So those are the only kind of stories I got. What you got going on?
It's the same thing. Like, you know, with my business, I had to put it on pause. And now I'm like, okay, I'm about to start, you know, grinding because I got to prepare for the summer. But also, like, I kind of like use this year, like for my mental or whatever. And I know we have these conversations about dating all the time. And I tell you about like how difficult it is dating in New York and how basically dudes don't never approach me. They barely holler at me in New York City. And like,
yeah, that's everybody, what you be saying.
Yeah, I be telling my friends that. And they be like, girl, I don't know. I'm like, dead ass. Like, people don't be trying to talk to me. But when I go outside of New York, I get dates. People are like on me really hard. So recently, I got a story. Story time, y'all. The week before last weekend, me and Drea was outside, y'all. We was outside lit. So my homeboy came in town from Charlotte for work. And he was like, hey, Tasha, like, you want to go get some drinks? You want to go catch up? So I'm like, cool. So we meet at Sweet BK. And Andrea, I invite Andrea over with us. And at this point, like, I'm thinking I'm paying for the bill myself. But I'm like, I want to have a good time. I haven't really been outside like that. So I order like three drinks. And the bartender kind of makes it strong. You know, shout out to Tim. He's an amazing bartender. So at this point, I'm a little tipsy. We order food. Andrea, was you tipsy after a couple of drinks at Sweet BK?
You know what? I was. I had two drinks there. So I was feeling, I was all right. I had a rum punch. I had two rum punches. You know, your boy took care of us. You know, we were conversing with some of the people around us. Tasha, you was making fun of the dude that you had run-ins with and that, you know, had become my fast friend, but I wasn't crazy at that spot. But then we went to some other spots.
Yes. So my homeboy, he ends up like the first spot, he ends up paying for the whole tab for three of us. And I was like, damn, this nigga got money because I order food. I order drinks. The other girl order food, order drinks. You order drinks. I don't know if you order food. But I was like, damn, just like the meme with the girl from Abbott Elementary. I was like, he got money, y'all. He got money. So he like, y'all want to go to another spot? Y'all want to smoke hookah? I was like, damn, you want to smoke hookah too?
Shout out to him. Shout out to your man. You know, we're going to do our roll call to our grits. But shout out to the grits that I've been meeting in most recent months. Because, you know, we all cool. We got our own, you know, sauce.
Right.
And he was on his, you know, T.I. shit that night. Like, y'all can have whatever y'all want. You, your friends, they friends.
Right. So we get to the next spot, Eve's. Eve's is a Black-owned bar. Shout out to Eve's. So we get there, and I'm like, oh, let me pay for drinks. I'll pay for a round. So he was like, nah, you know, that's okay. I'm going to order a bottle of wine. This man ordered a whole bottle of wine in the establishment, and I order some drinks, you order some drinks, the check come, and he paid for it again. At this point, I'm fucked up. I'm gonna be real. I was like faded. You almost got all of us.
I was literally like, yeah, I'm going home after this. I went home.
No, we got to get to the story. So I'm on my phone and I'm lit. I want to still go out. So I get on my phone and usually how I contact a lot of my friends is through Instagram. So I'm trying to see what's popping. So I hit up this guy. I never met him a day of my life on IG, but we work in the same industry. And like he doesn't take good IG pictures. So I never was really interested, but he seemed cool as hell. So I'm like, hey, what's the moves? And he's like, Bed Vine. So I'm with me and Andrea is walking down the street. And I'm like, I'm trying to convince Drea G to come with me. I'm like, we going out. So we stop by her crib. And the next thing you know, I look behind and Drea is flatlined on the damn bed, like a crime scene.
And you know what? That's what you didn't tell me, because I knew, I was like, how did I get home? You know, I knew shit was fuzzy. I knew I came home and I wasn't going to Bed Vines like Tasha was. But side note, before we even go further, did y'all know that Bed Vines, they got a liquor license? Like, I'm late. It's not just wines anymore. It's not just very potent wines. So if you visiting this summer, you know how they do the Tompkins Sunday block party, shit about to be on a whole new level now. Like, now right. That it's a bar.
So I see Drea G passed out. So I'm like, I'm going. I'm still drunk, but I'm still lit. I'm like on the ups. I'm like, I'm going to book an Uber. So my drunk ass books an Uber to the spot. So it is packed on the outside. I'm like, damn, everybody up in here. I'm about like, it's people. This is going to be popping. So I'm about to walk and open up the door to meet the people. And who do I see? I see IG dude. This is my first time ever seeing this man in real life. And I'm like, damn. This man fine. When I tell you this man is tall, fine, got a beard, chocolate, I was like, wow. This whole time I wasn't even checking for this man because he was just cool people. But now I'm like, oh my God, like this is, we go together at this point. Like I'm in love. It was love at first sight. So like me and him, we talking and stuff. And then he makes it known, like he has a homegirl with him. So he's like, hey, you know, that's my homegirl. You know, her dude is inside. I'm like, bro, I don't even know all this girl business. But I was like, he was doing that because he wanted to show his interest in me or whatever. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I'm lit already. The dude giving me a drink and I'm already like gone at this point. So next thing you know, we booed up. We holding hands and stuff. So we walk inside the venue. Girl, like we literally go together at this point. So we walk inside the venue. He hyping me up, making me feel like a whole baddie up in this piece. And I'm not used to this because I don't get hollered at. Like I said, in New York City, they not aggressive with me. I'm dead ass.
You be dismissing people and you don't pay no mind to them until you see them in real life. That is not true.
Well, I didn't know the dude wasn't literally, he wasn't forward.
He thought
on
he was short.
I did. No lie. I thought he was short on Instagram.
Let's keep it real. Let's keep it funky.
He wasn't really shooting his shot on Instagram. He was just having he was trying to help me with my business. We just have normal conversations and stuff. So we get inside. The man go to the bathroom. And all the men trying to holler at me. I'm like, well, damn. When I'm by myself, ain't none of y'all trying to holler at me. But as soon as y'all see me with a man, now y'all want to holler at me. Don't make no damn sense. So then I see a DJ. And I know the DJ. You know, I be flirting with the DJ. So I get a little DJ, a little hug or whatever. So then I go back and I'm like talking to like a guy. I'm just having an innocent conversation. He get out of the bathroom. He see me. He grab my hand to go to the bar. So I'm
niggas
like, okay.
Love taking women. They love them.
That must be it. That's why I need to go with my homeboys out, child. Maybe that's what it is. I need to act like my homeboy is my nigga and then let my homeboys go to the bathroom. And maybe that's how I get chosen in New York City. And like my feet is killing me because I'm the only girl in this place with heels on. And you know me, I love a heel. I love a heel. So I'm like, oh, can you walk me home? Because it's not far, you know, from my crib. So he walks me home. And the next thing you know, me and this dude just making out. We all up on top of each other. It's like love is in the air. We didn't have any type of, you know, we didn't have sex.
Y'all just made out.
Yeah, we just made out. We were just like really like feeling each other, like physical attraction. And on top of that, when I tell y'all, this man is tall. Like I said before, he loves the Lord. He's educated. He's really smart and intelligent, well-traveled. Like this is like, what do you call it? What does Kevin Samuels call these type of men?
A chipper kind of? I don't know. I think that's what the Jewish people call stuff where it's like unbelievable, or it's like, you know, they're rare.
Yeah, basically.
A high value man.
Yes, that's what it is. Because I ain't never met a man like this in New York City. I'm just saying, like, an educated man. And then he told me he live on his own and he got a 2-bedroom. I was like, wait, somebody lying. Oh, my God. Because I'm used to people living with their parents or roommates. I'm like, oh, my God, this is like, we are literally going to go together. I done made this dude food, leftovers, and I can't even cook like that. I'm gonna be real. Like, I'm okay, but I'm not all the way there yet. I try. He ate my food and he liked it, girl. I was shocked. So at this point, I'm like, okay, we cool. And he ended up spending the night. Like I said, we didn't do nothing. So the next day I made him, you know, a scrambled egg or whatever, like an omelet. And he ate the whole thing. And then I tasted it. And I was like, damn, I put no salt on this. And I was like, damn. He must was hungry, or maybe we like meant to be, because he liked my shit. Chilling, we watching TV or whatever. And he was like, oh, I got a game night or some shit to go to. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm calling all of y'all to tell y'all like what happened and shit like that. He tells me like the day before that, you know, we're going to go on a date Tuesday or Wednesday. So whatever. So I'm waiting for this man to call me. I'm like, I didn't hear from him. I'm like, where the hell is this man at? Like, so, you know, we supposed to have plans. He's supposed to be my husband. Like, is he ghost? So I hit up a couple of people. And my cousin was like, man, we grown. Just hit him up, man. And I don't like to, like, hit up dudes first, child. Like, that's not my swag. I like the man hit me up first, just so I can know that he's interested. And it's, like, manly thing to do. So I was just like, something in my spirit was like, nah, something ain't right. But I hit him up. I listened to my cousin. And so we're having a conversation. And then he just stopped responding. I'm like, what the fuck? Because I'm so, like, on Instagram, we had this whole back and forth, you know, well, he'll send me memes and I'll send him shit. So I'm like, all of a sudden.
You know, when you take your relationship off of Instagram and it gets real and y'all got blue messages, it's different.
I don't know why the hell he would be acting different now. The next day, he was at my house. Like, even when we sobered up, the next day, I gave the nigga a toothbrush and then the nigga kissed me before he left my house and every damn thing. So like, if you wasn't interested, sir, you don't be kissing all up on somebody the next day and be like, bye. What was that? So after that, after the conversation, like, he didn't even respond. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So now I'm thinking, what the hell did I do wrong? Like, I'm thinking of all types of shit. I'm like, oh, is it because I didn't smash the man because I'm celibate? Or is it because of my house not clean? And I felt like my house was clean. So I'm like, what the heck is this?
You,
like,
see all these things that go through a woman's mind. We're like, we got to have all this shit in order. And if, you know, if we don't get the reaction, man, fuck these niggas. We do the choosing. We choose.
Girl, he's a king, girl. I couldn't let a king like leave, girl. This is a whole king. I have never met a king like this ever in my life. Okay, so proceed. I'm telling my homeboy and I'm like, bruh, like, I don't know, man. This shit pissed me off. And my homeboy is like, if you say he the dude, why don't you just respond back and be like, hey, just checking in? And I'm like, nigga, I gotta do this shit again. My woman intuition is telling me that something ain't right. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know if I should do this shit. So my homeboy convinces me. And this is why you can't take advice from nobody. Like, you got to listen to your own woman.
Especially men.
They be giving bad advice. So the dude, I hit the dude up. I don't get nothing from the dude until the next day. And guess what he says the next day in the text? He says, hey, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really attracted to you. But, you know, I got a situation and, you know, we've been on and off and I'm about to get back with her. My nigga. So you mean to tell me you had this bitch the whole damn time and I literally was at the bar and other niggas was trying to holler at me and you up there blocked my blessings from another man. And you got a whole female the whole time. And then you was at my house talking about, oh, we're going to go on a date Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm just so happy to smash this man.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, by pausing, you know, and kind of seeing what it felt like or what you were getting from the situation when reading a room, like, okay, I'm glad I did not proceed. And we ain't let it get, you know, too carried away. So
I give, yeah. At least he was honest about it, but still it's like, bro, like I could only, and I was the reason why we didn't have, you know, any type of relations. I said, nah, like I'm not going to do it. But Like, it was just like, damn, bro, you got a whole girl. And I was like sad because he was like a good quality black man. But then at the other time, I was just like, well, I guess it's not meant to be. It is what it is. But that shit was just like, never again. Never again. When I'm with a nigga, I'm gonna, if another nigga try to holler at me, I'm just gonna get a nigga my number at this point. Maybe that's the lesson.
You know what? And see, me and you, we've been having this conversation. I'm not gonna give all the listeners my business, but just saying that not wanting to be intentional, but being intentional with the right person. And, you know, once you guys have that clear communication that what's what, but until then, like, we should date and keep it, you know, pretty platonic to see, like, you know, who you really want to choose. Because there's a lot of niggas out here. Right.
It was y'all asses. All right. If your ass would have went with me, I would have never been in this situation. I would have never been sad about my future husband having another woman. I would have never been in this situation, child.
You know, those heartbreakers. Some could say the same thing about us, but, you know, I digress.
You're the one that be breaking people's hearts, not me.
Please, Tasha, stop with the false narratives. People, they do whatever they want to do, or they make up whatever they want in their minds. But, you know, we digress. So lesson learned. All right. So, you know, we're going into 2024, the second quarter, dusting off our shoulders and keeping it pushing. And so before we get into anything further, you know, shout out to all the grits that we've been meeting over the last couple of months, just along the way, you know, how we like to do a quick roll call. Shout out to all the grits that are in New York City, the grits around the globe, whether you are in Georgia, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, or Louisiana. Shout out to y'all, okay? Because we make the world go round.
Shout out.
All right, so y'all know, since we already done caught y'all up, you know, Tasha done gave you her tales, and I've caught y'all up on what's going on with me. We're going to move into the pour up. So you know how we like to do it. We're pouring up to five things that's, you know, relevant to us, pop culture, news, just information. Okay. So what we got going on this week?
So the first, I'm going to give a shout out to The Layout. They just had an event called The Chill Out, and it was by Barclays. And I it was Saturday and Sunday. So I went Sunday towards the end just to see all the dope vendors. And it was a nice turnout. I liked the vendors. I actually bought a couple of teas from two different vendors. One vendor had like flavored tea. Like she had like sweet potato and all types of like different types of tea, apple pie tea. And I never ever like seen that before.
Interesting.
So like I bought one. So I'm going to taste it, and I'm going to let y'all know what, you know, how would I think about it. So shout out to The Layout.
Yeah, shout out to them. And I like that the fact that they're able to have that brand, and it has been able to go into several different pockets. They have The Layout, you know, we kick it in the summertime, we get to commune, you know, they have these events. I saw them doing something for Women's History Month this month. Like you said, with the vendors, but they're always doing something. I see something called the Makeout in the winter months. It's like, you know, they have these different classes where you can design things from lingerie to perfume to candles. So I just think that it's a really dope Black collective. And I like how they're able to kind of shift and go into all these different, you know, pockets. So shout out to them.
So number two, I just want to give a shout out to Real Housewives of Potomac because they kind of shake things up lately. So at the end of this season, the listeners, if y'all have watched this season, it's been kind of boring.
I didn't watch it all.
It was whack. It wasn't even worth the watch, to be quite honest. It didn't get good until the finale. And that was only because Mia, she brought the energy. And the only reason why I want to give a shout out to Mia and also the shakeup, because they got rid of Robin and Candace. So they'll have new entertaining cast. I liked Candace, but I mean, it is what it is.
You know what? To be honest, Candace got on my nerves. And I'm gonna tell you why. Like, you know, Monique and her got into that situation. Monique used to get on my nerves too. But Candace, she liked to talk a lot. So it was just interesting that I saw that she was like, I'm going to be taking a break. And so it wasn't a break. So between her and Robin, because people don't.
I don't know, because so Candace, if you follow Candace on social media, and she's been doing a lot, like she's been working with Angela Yee right now on her morning show. So she's been filling in. She's been acting. She's been in a couple of movies. She's been singing. And also she's trying to have a baby. So I don't know if she got fired or it's really like she got a lot of stuff going on. Robin definitely got fired because she don't have shit going on. Let's keep it real. So, you know.
Robin is about to open up the businesses with like this. Okay. All right. But she don't want to talk about her personal stuff. She doesn't want to, like, she don't want to talk about her personal stuff is what it is.
Yeah, she don't need to be on the show. So, but Mia has brought the energy. So Mia is basically on the show. It revealed that she was having an affair with another guy that she grew up with on her husband. So basically the backstory is her husband met her when he was married, right? And he's a way older man. I think he's like 30 years older than her. So
he's like 72.
Yeah, he's really older.
Let that be a lesson.
Right. So that's a lesson, because a lot of men out here, they're like, oh, well, once you get old as a woman, nobody wants y'all. We don't want y'all. We want younger women. And look at this situation. He's an older man dating a younger woman, and she was cheating on him. He don't know if his baby is his or not. And then she moved on to another man. That penis works. So let's just keep it real. Like, you know what I mean? People just need to probably date within their age brackets and call it a day. But I just want to give a shout out to her, because she brought the energy for reality TV. And I think she saved us from actually wanting to watch the reunion, because it was so dry. But her story makes me want to watch the reunion. So shout out to her.
Oh, wow. I'm going to watch that episode, girl. I wanted to see how that fight came into play and who was fighting and what. But I digress. Okay. Bet. So moving right along. Shout out to Mia and the Real Housewives shakeup. Number three, I am pouring up to, I saw this in recent news, Rashad Bilal and Troy Millings of Earn Your Leisure, which is, you know, popular financial literacy show and podcast. But I thought it was really cool that they are set to launch. They developed a financial literacy curriculum that's set to roll out across 10 public schools in the Bronx. And I think that is super dope. You know, two Black men of color, I mean, of course, of color, but two men of color, they have this big following. You know, I know that a lot of people have gotten, you know, more interested in learning about finances and building wealth through this platform and through some of their discussions. So I think that it's really cool that it's coming to New York City, because this is the capital. I mean, this is where it needs to be.
Yeah, in the sense that corporate offices are here. Yep.
That, but just the cost of living. Okay. Mm-hmm. That. And so, you know, finding those ways early and, you know, through school to learn about financial literacy and the importance of setting yourself up for success. So I think that's super dope. And what better place, again, because New York City is what, 8-9 million people. And Bronx is a very impoverished, one of the more impoverished boroughs here. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's cool that it's launching there. So shout out to those two.
And then I think it's really dope because it's two Black men, you know, doing their thing. So I just love when Black men are, you know, entrepreneurs and they're like feeding into our community. So shout out to them.
Building and really making impact, because that's what it's about. You know, when you create a platform and, you know, others really benefit and we're able to move the dime forward, because, you know, what else is it for if not for progression? So shout out to them again. All right, so number four, I'm actually shouting out Spelman. HBCU, Spelman College makes history and becomes the first HBCU to offer cosmetic chemistry. And I think that is super dope. Why? First of all, you know, for years we've talked about, well, the fashion industries, entertainment, just talked about representation. We hear this often. And even with beauty brands, knowing that people of color, like, we're high consumers, like when it comes to toiletries and personal care and things like that. So to see that an institution like Spelman is getting to the forefront, yes, we need more cosmetic chemists, Black women of color developing these products and bringing them mass market, and us, you know, putting our dollars towards that. So I think that's super dope because, again, people of color, Black women especially, we use a lot of personal hygiene and just personal care type of products. So I think that this is a great space that we're getting in. So shout out to Spelman for, you know, moving that forward.
All righty.
All right. And number five, just a little razzle dazzle. I know you ain't really into it and I'm barely listening, but I'm going to tell you this, a couple of things. And so I really don't know if I should be pouring up to it or if I'm blessing my heart. So this is, some of it is a pour up and some of it's slight shade. Okay. I'm gonna keep it 100, but the girls are fighting. So, you know, Metro Boomin and Future, they released their project. I want to say it was last Friday. I want to say, what is that? March 22nd it was. Well, on the track, on one of the songs, Really Like That, or Like That is what it's called. Kendrick Lamar, he sent shots at Drake's way, at J. Cole's way. And it's all because Drake and J. Cole, you know, they had that song that they released a couple of months ago. And they were just talking about how they're the, you know, essentially the big two, like, or not the big three, but they didn't even mention Kendrick really in that song. But I'm here for it because I'm here for, first of all, because I'm tired of the girls fighting and then being like, oh, what happened to the, you know, this fake women? And, oh, what about these niggas? You know, people love Drake.
You like violence.
And Future as a duo. Like people like Drake and Future as a duo. They not, first of all, violence.
You like drama, girl.
We're not talking about gangster rap. Drake is not a gangster rapper. So violence is not necessarily what I am trying to get from this. What I would like, you know, because Drake been, he been all cutesy lately. You know, he been throwing shots and taking shots at women, from Meg to Serena's husband. Like, I definitely been feeling the type of way about Drake of recently. And not to mention, but I think that it's a good thing for hip hop. And if it gets, you know, Drake in that competitive mode and it's not all, you know, kumbaya, okay. You know, it's been a frat club for a minute. So I think, you know, a little drama is good. And, you know, if it makes him get in the studio and push his pen, I mean, I know that he's been pushing his pen because he did for All the Dogs.
I don't like how he had to throw Cole under the bus because I fuck with Cole. Cole is a grits. Okay. And Cole was probably just minding his business and stuff. And he want to start stuff with J. Cole. I feel like J. Cole versus Kendrick will be better than Kendrick versus Drake. That would be more entertaining, but, you know, we'll see.
He ain't got no beef with Kendrick. Kendrick cool, so, you know. And I'm going to say this. Drake daddy getting in it, like, he's a grown-ass son can fight his own battles. He a 38, 37-year-old man. And, you know, people been talking about Drea. I'm off of this. So this is a little bit of a bless your heart that I'm a take it off into. But Drake ain't no damn victim. Let Drake fight his battles. You know, he's very smart, calculating man, which is why I don't understand why he is being associated with Lotto's little sister, Brooklyn, who's 21 and he's 37. Okay, so as smart as he is, what do they have to talk about? All right, so I'm a stop the pour up. And so I will have a bless your heart to Drake on that, because that's a grown ass man. And, you know, it's been a lot of talk in the news about, you know, age differences and what's da 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 and what's predatory behavior. But men be doing a lot of predatory shit. So let's stop with all the double standards. Off my soapbox.
All righty. So you're giving number one, bless your heart, to Drake and, you know, him dating Lotto little sister. I guess number two, I'm going to bless my heart to Jalen Green, who's Drea's baby daddy. So, you know, I'm not for what Drea was doing by making this man her baby daddy. But just recently we found out, and it was on a couple of podcasts, they've been talking about this. This man has 3 kids. He literally just had a baby, supposedly, you know, allegedly, by a bartender. Apparently it's a stripper that's pregnant, the same, and her due date is the same as Drea's. And then I was watching Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharp on their podcast joke about this. And this is not a joking matter. Like, I feel like, you know, I don't know what, if it's this generation or what's going on. I feel like people are so okay with making people baby mothers. They're not scared of diseases. They're not scared of this. You having 3 kids within a year. That is crazy to me. And you're young as hell too. Like, we need to like change this whole over sexualization of people and how everything in America and probably the world is just so over sexualized. And we're making it be like, oh, it's okay to be a baby mama or a baby daddy. It's okay to have all these kids by different men or all these kids by different women. And it's not okay. It's really like people need to get themselves together. So I want to bless my heart to him for that, even though he's been doing good with the Rockets. He's been doing crazy ever since we found out that he has all these babies on the way. This man done his last game. Yeah, his last game, he scored like 41 points. So shout out to him on that. But other than that,
he's like, my family and my baby is what's keeping me motivated. That's probably why. He said, my family and my babies.
Right. That's why he's talking about, I'm not going to lose this contract. I'm about to like literally like be balling because I got kids to feed at this point.
Shit. Right.
So number 3, I'm going to bless my heart to Diddy because I don't know if you just saw just today. It was a search by the feds in his house and 2 of his kids got detained. And it's like very embarrassing for your children to get detained because of the shit that you was doing. And on top of that, nobody can find Diddy. They say he in an island. They said that they found his plane overseas in an island. Even, I don't know if you noticed about the whole Diddy scandal and all this stuff. You know, they said it's like, you know, some sex scandal, whatever is going on. You notice how Young Miami is taking it? She seemed to like, people been like bombarding her today, like in her Twitter. I've been looking at people saying all types of crazy shit to her. And she just like been completely acting oblivious. So I don't know if like the Diddy thing has called JT to separate from Young Miami, but I just noticed that like she don't kick it with her like that. Like she totally separated from her as soon as this Diddy shit start happening. And I don't know, maybe I'm looking into this like more than, you know, the average person, but there's some weird stuff going on between them. And I don't know if it's because of Diddy and all the crazy shit that Diddy got going on.
Well, maybe, but it probably has something to do with low performance and not just of like probably a little bit of everything what you're saying. But I'm just saying, even before this, their career or their second, you know, project, it didn't perform that great. So they kind of let it die on the vine. So at this point, after her getting some success with her Sideways single, of course she's like, well, maybe I should be trying to do this separately and kind of free myself. So who knows, child? But
yeah, that's true.
Bless the heart of everybody on this list and everyone involved in a situation where y'all got to come down in front of the congregation because, you know, some just ain't cleaning the milk. And yeah, we got to talk about it. This is what families do.
So this is going to bring us to our Southern Sound Off. So this segment is, we pick a topic and we just give our Southern perspective of, you know, what's going on or whatever. So this topic for this week, we're going to talk about the state of NYC. Since we both came back and, you know, I came back the end of January, we have noticed some changes and some crazy things happening in New York. So we're going to talk about a couple of things. The first thing we're going to talk about is crime.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. It's been crazy. Crime. Yeah, I did sing that.
All right. I was like, damn, girl. Like that caught me off guard a little bit. That was a crime. Your voice is a crime, child.
Oh, well. You'll be all right.
I literally just looked on a Citizens app. And I know Drea G probably think I'm crazy as hell. I look on this Citizens app like it's First 48. Like, you see all the crime that's going on, who shot who stabbed who, like if it's on your block or the next person's block. So I literally be on this app. So literally, I just got an alert and an officer just got murdered in Queens, a police officer.
Wow.
Literally.
Wow. Wow.
It is so sad.
Yeah. I don't have Citizen app on my phone no more. And it was funny because somebody that came by to take a look at my apartment, because I may just put like shelving up or put my TV on the wall. And they were like, he was like, I had to delete Citizen app. Now, mind you, he from here and it's a big dude. This is a big 6'3", big dude. But he was just like, I had to, like, because all it's going to do is make you paranoid.
But he a grown ass man. But and that's he paranoid. What he's... He that paranoid. He can't protect nobody, child. He can't protect our asses.
But I'm sure he could. But he's married, and he says that he has a daughter. So I'm quite sure that shit does make him nervous, knowing all this shit going on. He got to protect two women.
Child.
But who knows? But all that to say, yeah, man. So you came back at the top of January, but even before then, you know, the past 6 months, like it's been a lot of changes around here, but definitely for this last 6-7 months, uptick in crime, violence in NYC, definitely ain't no love in this city. And, you know, today, one of the big things or one of the big upticks that we've seen. And for me, because, you know, I'm on mass transit right now. You know, and it does make me wish or miss having a car. But right. I noticed today when I was traveling, I was feeling anxious. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all because, you know, I don't want to be jittery, you know, and I'm quite sure I'm not the only one that's on edge like that because so much shit has been going on. And so my thing is MTA and all the city officials getting here, like, why the fuck are fares being raised? You know, if crime is continuing to rise too, right. Like what the fuck is like, where is the handoff? Like, what are we getting in return? Y'all are increasing fares and fees and it's just, you know, it's just become worse. So subway crime, that's just one, the areas that we're seeing these things. And for me, I am an avid watcher of this type of stuff because, yeah, I am, you know, a woman and I'm traveling on the trains. So costs, everything, crime is rising, not to mention costs, but we'll get on that. But where's the National Guard? Because that was one of the things that was, you know, handed down a couple of weeks ago by the governor.
You haven't seen a single? Now, I haven't been on the train in like a couple of weeks, so I don't even know. I'd be too scared to ride a train.
I ain't necessarily seen police in like bigger forces, like I haven't. And I mean, I say that because one of the stops that I frequent sometimes is in Bed-Stuy. And for example, Franklin has had a whole bunch of shit going on. Today it was a stabbing. As I was leaving and, you know, just going away, they got the news reporters outside.
Oh,
like,
Lord, Jesus.
It's a lot happening. And, you know, before Franklin, you know, just 2 weeks ago, a man that probably was suffering from a mental disorder picked a fight with some man on the train. His broad, she jumped in, shivved him in the back, pissed him off. This man took a gun out of his jacket, bringing a gun. And this isn't the first incident.
Yeah, because
we've been seeing incidents like this really since December. Because in December, in Bed-Stuy, on the AC line, there were two people shot. Okay? There were two people shot. So, it's been going on. Okay? So, this is just this is just more par for the course. But, you know, if we're seeing an uptick of this in the subways, you know, people bringing more guns on a train. That shit is
scary. That's why they're trying to bring stop and frisk back. But I'm still against stop and frisk because...
I'm not.
I am, because when they first started stop and frisk, it was just as much crime. And when they were like racially biased. And then when they would check people, they found out the majority of the people that they checked, they had no weapons on them. They had nothing on them. So I feel like they're just doing that to, you know, cause inconvenience towards people of a color. Like, I feel like what they need to do is have more police at these different stations. They didn't have police on the train. That's just my point of view. I feel like that's just going to mess up our rights. But I mean, you know, and that's a true stat. You know, they didn't find people, like they was violating.
I'm going to tell you this, that whole shooting that took place in commute to Hoyt Skimmerhorn, that's a station that has police. They got a precinct upstairs. So to me, like when I even heard that, I was like, what? I was like, what? And Skimmerhorn got a whole precinct. Like I see them.
That's true. But that where were the police at? They weren't even on the train. Where they
wasn't even on the train. People like close the doors. People on the floors. Like that's my worst fear. Being in a confined ass space like that and some shit popping off. And we've been seeing it more and more. Like, this ain't the first time. Like, it's crazy. So, more gun violence we've been seeing on the trains. Just more violence, period.
And even on the tracks. They've been pushing people on the tracks lately. It's been out of hand.
Just 2 weeks ago, a man pushed his girl in front of the subway as it was coming into the station, took her feet off. Like, what? Like, what? Like, what? Where is people's deductive reasoning at? But, you know, this is just, again, more par for the course. And I think that this is just illustrating some bigger problems in the city.
Yeah.
You know, financial frustration and lack of resources, like cost of like shit. It's sending people in a tizzy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just subway crime. It's even crime outside of the subway. It's like people like the girls recently, the twins that got stabbed going to the bodega. It's because the dude was in his feelings because, you know, they didn't want to talk to him. He was trying to holler at them. That's scary as hell, especially for us, like as women. And we're walking down the street all the time. Like a lot of times, I'm gonna be real, like it's a corner on my block and it's always a whole group of dudes. I always walk away from them across the street to avoid them because not that I'm so scared of them, but anything can pop off. And I'm always like cautious around groups of men. So it's just like scary out here.
It really is. Like, I mean, yeah, it really is. I mean, just over the weekend, I was sending you like a report from the news. They were like, it was like three people like shot back to back from like two people in Harlem, 18 years old, 25, and then a 17-year-old shot in Brooklyn. Like, and my thing is New York City been really violating because like, yo, there used to be so many codes, like no women, no children. Like they like fuck them codes. They like everybody can get it. They
all
like
kids,
the cats, the dogs, the like who raised you? Like who raised y'all? Like, and it's us. It's people that look like us. And so that's what's so disheartening.
That's not true. The killings is not.
No, not all. But that
you know people dying.
For example, those twins that were stabbed. It was a young little 20-year-old black dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't have no fucking sense. Like how? How?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
It is not a cultural. This is just like how even a couple years ago, you know, while we don't even want to do sometimes the West Indian, the Caribbean, you know,
Day
the
parade. West Indies.
Yes. Because, you know, the little girl, she was going to, what was it? She went to Juve and she didn't want to get this dude her number, shot her, killed her on the spot. Like, so we are seeing these types of things more and more, but not like we're just talking about that. Like, yo, it's so much. I was telling somebody, I have a friend, they're preparing to move to New York. And, you know, I'm trying to give some good insights. The same type of insights that we would have wanted, you know, and that's one of the whole reasons why we have these discussions and we kind of share these things with people. But I was just saying like, yo, it's been a lot going on, you know, and I do want to recommend these areas like I feel like Crown Heights is one of those neighborhoods in Brooklyn that has a lot of diversity. It's got a lot of culture. And I think, you know, you can find like good places to live and probably spacious, but it has been wild around there. And it's been wild because St. Mark's, that's where those young girls got stabbed. And on Franklin, just months ago, like somebody walked in a bodega, you know, he was mad. Like the dude tried to get a cigar and on the house, and the dude was like, no, shot this person dead. The regard for life right now is like, it is crazy how there is none, and we're seeing it in real time. So
I feel like New York has been dangerous everywhere, to be quite honest. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter if you live in a hood, if you don't live in a hood. Things have been happening. Women have been getting assaulted everywhere throughout New York City. Like, it doesn't matter where.
I was going to say, you put Flatbush shooting. Did you hear about that couple who was being chased down by a little teenager last week, was shooting a gun at them on foot? And the cops were looking for him for like 7 minutes. And they finally like ran into the neighborhood to where they saw him, broad daylight.
Us living in New York all these years, I do feel unsafe wherever I go. It doesn't matter where I go. Like, if I go down the street, I can feel unsafe. If I go to the city, I can feel unsafe. Today, I go to Barclays all the time to go to Target. And somebody got assaulted in broad daylight at Barclays, in that area or whatever. And that's an expensive ass area. It was like off of 4th Ave and shit like that. And I was like, oh, hell nah. Like, I ain't about this life. But it's like, you know, it's not like you said earlier, us. It's not just us committing crime. It's a lot of people committing crime. So, like, it's just, you know, unsafe. So you don't even know who is, you know, because I don't like the stereotype just saying Black people commit crime. But, you know, just keep your guard up wherever you go. Just in general. So number two, it's been a lot of talk in New York City. It's been a lot of, you know, issues that people have been having with migrants in New York City. And when I say that is I look at a lot of social media platforms and a lot of people are mad because they feel like, you know, migrants are taking up housing and they're living for free and all this stuff in New York, and because New York is expensive. So Eric Adams was recently on Angela Yee's morning show, radio show, and he was talking about the real issue with migrants. And, you know, this is something that I didn't really know. You know, I didn't know the details. And he listed a couple of bullet points. He said it's hard to deport migrants who commit crime because it's against the law. He said it's against the law to not give housing to migrants. And he also said it's against the law for them to work. And it's also against the law to stop buses that was coming from Texas to New York City. I saw on the news that I guess it was like an expensive building in New York City. And people were like about to protest and go crazy because they were going to put migrants in this building to live. Because, you know, right now we don't have a lot of space. We don't even have room out here in New York City.
I see them building shit.
I mean,
I see them building a whole bunch of shit, condos.
True. I don't know if Eric Adams is lying or not, but Eric Adams said that shit is not true. He said that we only got 1% vacancy in New York City, and he said that we need to build more, and he's trying to get people to build more. But he said a lot of these, I guess, whoever's in charge of building these buildings, they're not building. And he said that's becoming an issue. And that's why housing is so expensive, because we're overbooked pretty much everywhere in New York City.
Mm, interesting. I'm like, what's up with all these condos and high rises? But I guess those are private investors and they've already got this. I don't know, but
I don't know. So you don't believe him when he said it's only a 1% vacancy in New York City? That's what he said.
No, I don't necessarily disbelieve him, because I'm going to say this. I think that people got a lot of property and I feel like they held it too. Just like, because like in my neighborhood, all I see is like brownstones that were once like boarded up. They probably were purchased, but they, you know, just now got around to spending the money. So maybe not true. You know, maybe people bought up property and, you know, are just kind of doing them and they have them. So that's not, it's not necessarily true, but I'm just saying I see a lot of activity in my neighborhood. So you said 1% vacancy.
Yeah.
We need to build more. Mm-hmm. I mean, they building.
I mean, that's what he said. That's what Eric Adams, our mayor, literally said. He said that he's trying to literally like increase funding, trying to get people to build more housing out here. And then also like, I know Angela Yee was saying how like the cost of apartments have skyrocketed in New York City to where a lot of people can't afford. And I think that that's a that has created a lot of tension that people have with migrants in New York City. I was just on your block, actually. Well, close to your block. Well, in between us. It was like a new apartment. I think it's off of Bedford. And I was looking at the, I Googled the cost. A one bedroom. The kitchen is, my kitchen is bigger than this one bedroom. They're charging $4,400.
That is bananas.
A one bedroom apartment. The what do you call it? The bedroom was smaller than mine. I'm like,
I wonder, are those co-ops or those apartments?
Those are apartments. I literally Googled.
That's crazy. Like, nigga, what y'all got in there?
I know. That's
$4,400.
Like, who out here in New York City can't afford this stuff, especially with this economy? Like, people are losing jobs like crazy.
Exactly.
Out here in New York City.
Industries are hemorrhaging. And, you know, they have been talking about an impending recession for months. Mm-hmm. And so that's always the real root of what's going on. People are, it's a lot of distress or unrest around, like, people are not financially secure here. They can't catch a break in this city. I mean, people that are from here, they know the system, they know the programs, but at the same time, even those programs get updated. So, you know, mm-hmm. how went 20 years ago when they qualify for certain things, it's not the same way, but they know how to play the system. But people are angry. People are walking around mentally stressed. The cost from inflation to buying groceries in New York City.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the article. It was an article out recently, and it was saying that a lot of Americans are defaulting on their credit cards.
Right. Because the interest rates, and they're putting all the debt on credit because they can't live.
Mm-hmm. So it's just, and I think that that has probably played a factor in crime. But I think that a lot of crime, I feel like COVID kind of messed up New York City, to be quite honest. Again, I feel like COVID has created a lot of crime. Like, that's just my personal opinion.
I just feel like, because
it displaced a lot of people. You know, COVID displaced a lot of people. And it moved. And then also Joe Biden, he had that law with giving people clean crack pipes or, you know, pipes. Remember, I know certainly on my street, they have a lot of areas for.
Oh, we got a methadone clinic.
Yeah, yeah. They have a lot. And they give them like the free, you know, the clean drug pipe because they feel like they'll get off drugs quicker.
That's who be hanging around my blocks.
Right. So I feel like that has kind of affected New York, to be quite honest.
I feel like like I said, since I've lived over here in my area, I've always seen that we had one of those clinics and I would see like various people, you know, coming from them. So I knew that that was years ago.
But do you feel like your area before COVID, it had more drug addicts than now?
No, I don't. Like, I to be honest, I'm going to tell you, my area, it's the same, to be honest. Like, we got businesses, we got new businesses. You know, our neighborhood is changing, though. You know, it's changing. There are businesses coming. Now, I do see things that I didn't see before. Like, I saw, like, a little migrant family outside of the grocery store. And it was, you know, a woman and her daughters. And it was just like, damn, like, it is crazy out
there. They were homeless?
I'm assuming if they're migrants, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that, you know, maybe they go to a shelter, but it's like she was, you know, trying to get whatever resources she could from people that were going to donate. But it's just like, I saw that and I, you know.
Eric Adams said the shelters are full. That's what he was saying.
I'm sure that they are. It makes for a pressure cooker type situation. We got more people in our city. So our resources are extended, you know, beyond what's typically necessary or what they would expend. And then they're not just being expended on people that are citizens here and that, you know, are taxpayers here. So I know what it is, lack of resources. And financial, when them purse strings, when your money not right, when you can't do the things that you need to do for your family, when you can't support yourself as a man or a woman, can't get a job, laid off, like we're
out there robbing people, child. And then the crazy thing is, so I'll be honest, y'all. I remember back in the day, people would hurt people that look like them. Now it's like, you know, they up there robbing Becky child, and it's getting crazy. And that's why I honestly feel like they was like, oh, we're going to call the National Guard, because a lot of like white people y'all have been getting assaulted, now. Robbed. I don't know if they did that to National try to Guard. Make people feel safe, but I mean, they've been getting robbed like crazy. I'll be quite honest. Like, my cousin told me a story about the girl that at her job that got robbed at gunpoint, and she was like a blonde haired girl. And I was shocked because I rarely hear stuff like that. You know, I would get robbed quicker than, you know, a girl with blonde hair, blue eyes. But it's crazy out here in New York City. They don't care no more. People are hungry. People are starving. People don't care.
Yeah. And that's in desperation. Will have you see a side of people and humanity that you don't, you know, it'll have you regress. So I just think that that's just a sign of the times that we're in and kind of what's going on in the city. So New York City is still the city that we've chosen to be in for the time. And so it's still very much work-wise where we are, and it's still very much an exciting place, but it's just like, you know, you got to look alive at all times.
Right. And that's the gem of the week. Look alive.
Look alive at all times, baby. All right. Well, on that note, we out.
Peace.
Make sure you go check us out on all streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean,
YouTube. All right, y'all. Stay tuned.